and what it means to be free and what God says to us about that subject today. John chapter 8, beginning at verse number 31. Together in unison, to the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, "If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." They answered him, "We are Abraham's descendants and have never been slaves of anyone. How can you say that we shall be set free?" Jesus replied, Truly I tell you, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now a slave has no permanent place in his family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed." Amen. You may be seated. For the past 2 years, I have been a part of a wonderful journey here at Second Baptist Church in Bodenham. And it's been a great journey. I have come to love and appreciate and marvel in just the wonder of you, the people of God, here in this church. It's been my privilege to get to know you. It's been my privilege to be part of your lives in one way or another, sometimes during the ups and the downs of life and everyday living. And so today, I am announcing that this is my last Sunday as your interim pastor. And I am thankful to God with a humble heart and a grateful heart and wholehearted dependence upon the grace of God. I am informing you this morning that I am accepting God's invitation and your invitation to be your pastor, the pastor of this church, the Second Baptist Church of Bodenham. Thank you. It almost sounds like a political speech, doesn't it? Well, it's not. It's meant with great excitement and thanksgiving. And I only ask that you do a couple of things for me. Number one, that you do not call me a part-time pastor. All right? I don't like that term. I'm either a pastor or not a pastor, because there's no such thing as a part-time pastor. Amen. All right? And the second thing is this. Well, there's a bunch of things. I'll probably let you know later on. Second thing is, don't say you've hired a pastor. Okay? Because it's God's call. That's the most important thing of all. All right, there's no such thing as hiring a pastor. If you hire a pastor, it's just like hiring an employee. All right? There's something special about this that's not of us. That's not of me. It has nothing to do with me. It has not much to do with you. It's all of God. Because it is God who has brought us together. And what God has joined together, let no man what? Put asunder. All right? Let no man put asunder. So, I am very, very thankful for the privilege to serve as your pastor. I'm going to be taking a little time away. So, want you to know, I'm going on vacation first thing. All right? That looks real good, doesn't it? But there will be a little bit of time in between. I haven't decided whether I'm going to begin this the 1st of October or 1st of January. No, I'm just kidding. I'm taking at least next Sunday, where I'm going up to Nova Scotia to visit family and friends, and of course our granddaughter up north. But the Sunday after that, I have not decided yet whether I'll be back for that Sunday or not. I may just kind of stretch it out another Sunday. I'll let you all know. You'll know if I'm not here, right? All right. So you'll get lots of notice. And I'm thankful for my good buddy Keith back there, who's ready to preach, pray, or die in a minute's notice. Thank you, Keith, for filling in a couple of weeks ago, and for your willingness next Sunday to fill in, and maybe the Sunday after that. So you better get another sermon ready, okay? There you go. Thank you. Thank you so much. And so it is going to be a great, exciting adventure in the days ahead. We can probably plan an installation service somewhere in the next few months. I'm not sure when. There's some things that say I don't really need that because I've already been installed. I have really been blessed to, especially last Sunday when I learned that it was a unanimous vote. To me, that said something. That was really a powerful demonstration of unity, just a coming together. I'm not sure if it was unity or just everybody getting sick and tired of saying that they have an interim pastor. But I think there's a sense of unity here that has not been here before. And I'm thankful for that. And I'm really excited about the days ahead. It's going to be a team effort. And it's going to be I believe God's going to bless. And God's going to do some good things. And I've got some good ideas. I hope good ideas. And I've heard other ideas floating around as to how we can reach out into this community and make the gospel of Jesus Christ more relevant for the times we're in. And that's what it's about. It's about moving into the days that we're living in because we cannot use the tactics and the methods of 1950 and 1960 and 1970 to reach the generation that we have now and in the 2016, the millennials, where we need to face it, there's not a whole lot of understanding out there of biblical things, about the spiritual things. There's spiritual ideas, but spiritual things misdirected in other ways. So there's a verse of Scripture. Now that you heard me get that off my chest, that I wanted to share with you this morning, I think it's a great way to set the tone of what this is all about. Because it's certainly not about me. And it's not about you, and it's not about a denomination. You've heard me say when I first came here, because I remember the first few Sundays I was here, there was a lot of brokenness. And I remember it well. And there's a lot of people, some of you here this morning, who were very upfront by saying, I'm not sure I'm going to be part of this church much longer. I'm not sure I'm going to be hanging around much longer because of what we went through. And, I'm glad that's behind us. You might have heard me say this. I said this and I repeated it. Many times, that oftentimes a setback can be a setup for what God wants to do. A setback, remember that? Some of you do. A setback can be a setup. So I believe God has been setting us up. I believe that God has been setting us up and He is continuing to set us up. And He will go on and set us up as we set Him up as Lord of Lords and King of Kings in our lives and in this community. So, amen, let's go home. All right. Let's go eat. No. Let me just share with you three things about this passage this morning. Where Jesus says this, if you hold to my teachings, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. That's an awesome, awesome passage of Scripture. The other day, I was stuck in a traffic jam in South Boston, and I looked at a car in front of me that had a license plate where at the bottom of the license plate it said, live free or die. Now, I was seriously considering which was the better choice because it was so jammed up and there was such heavy traffic in South Boston. But I want you to know this morning that there is nothing quite like our freedom that we have in Christ. Last Sunday we celebrated 9/11. We reflected upon 9/11 and what a terrible day that was, and how our country came together, and how we rang in freedom, and how we saw many great things happen after 9/11, but that sort of subsided somewhat over the past 15 years. And how we need a new dose of that freedom, not only in our country, but in our lives. There's a real comedian by the name of Larry David. He created Seinfeld. He has a routine in which he asks, who do you think has more freedom? The single man in China or the married man in America? And then he says, I'm going to go with the single man in China. It may be true that he can't leave the country without permission, but I can't leave my house without permission. Freedom. God has given us freedom. You shall be free indeed, he says, Jesus. You will be free indeed. What a strong, powerful statement. And it's that foundation, and it's that philosophy, it's that thought that I think God has something very good to say to this church about building its future. Of what it is to know and experience the freedom of Christ in our lives. And to be able to relate it with a world that is caught in bondage. You see, we say we live in a free country, but we really don't. Men and women's lives have been ruined and wrecked by sin. And because of that, this nation is in a state of bondage. Because sin is our ruler, is the ruler of this land. We need deliverance from that bondage. And I'm here, and you're here, and all of us are here to declare to this community, to our neighbors, to our family members, to our country, that the only remedy is Jesus Christ, because he is the only one that can release us from bondage, and he's the only one who can give us complete deliverance and freedom. I believe that because I've experienced it myself. I have been delivered from bondage. I have been delivered from sin, and I'm still being delivered. It's not that I've made it. And we're just starting to study the book of Romans. For anybody who'd like to join us, we're talking about being delivered from freedom and what that freedom means as we study the book of Romans. But you see, this is the freedom we desire as believers, to be free, and to be free indeed because of our relationship with Jesus Christ. And it is a relationship. It is not a religion that we're talking about. I'll say that, and I'll say it until the cows come home, that it's a relationship. It's having an encounter with Jesus Christ in our lives that's life-changing, where intimacy is part of it, where we grow in our faith, where we walk in the truth, and where we live a lives that shed forth the light of Christ. You see, freedom comes from having chosen well, from making good choices. And there's just all kinds of beautiful nuggets here in this passage. Look at what it says in verses 31 and 32 again. To the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said this, that if you hold to my teachings, you are really my disciples. Really my disciples. Then, because of the fact that you're holding to my teaching, this is the consequence. This is the result. Then you will know the truth. And as a result of knowing that truth is going to do something in your life. And that truth is going to do something in the lives of people around you. That truth is going to set you free. And it's a freedom that no man, no person, nobody understands except for the child of God. Choices to be made. Three of them. Number one, there's the choice to go all in. The choice to go all in. Now, what in the world do I mean by that? The choice to go all in. The choice is you either go in for the dive or you don't. The choice is either you follow Jesus or you don't follow him. The choice is that he's Lord of your life or he's not Lord of your life. The choice is that you make him the captain of your life and of your being and as the center of your worship and your adoration. Jesus made this promise of freedom. To whom? To the Jews. To the Jews who had believed him, he said this. And that word believe is the key word. Not a time we think of that word belief as just being some intellectual assent. Oh yeah, I believe. You know, I believe. Yeah. I believe that toads give you warts if you touch them. Right. I believe that. Do you believe that? I believe that, there's all kinds of crazy illustrations I could use. Belief is the key word. But John isn't referring at this point to a head knowledge or a free and easy intellectual assent because anybody can believe. Even the devil believes, the Bible says. Even he believes. He's talking about heart deep faith. He's talking about belief that comes with a price. Belief that draws a line in the sand saying, this is who I am. This is what I'm about. This is who I represent. That kind of belief. Many people don't want to believe to such a degree. They want to sit on the fence as long as they can. Keep their options open. Not becoming too much of a fanatic. Just in case, maybe this religion thing doesn't work out for them. That's the way a lot of people think. And I see this attitude in many Christians today. Many people who sit in our pews on Sunday morning, it's not that they don't believe in Jesus as Savior. They're just not yet sure that they're willing to believe him all the way. They're just not willing to say, I'm going to deny myself and follow him no matter what the cost. You see, we are at a crisis of belief when we come to the point where we say, it's either God's way or my way. And I would suggest to you that we face that crisis of belief, as Henry Blackaby says in Experiencing God. We face it all the time. A crisis of belief. That's where it becomes very interesting. That's where the rubber hits the road. Where we know what God wants us to do, but we go the other way. Well, you know, we're going the easy way. And that's the broad way. And there are many who find that way. But Jesus talks about the narrow way, and there's few who find that narrow way. You see, it's not that we don't believe Jesus as Savior. We're not just sure if they're willing to believe him all the way. We're not really sure all the time whether we want to trust him as we should. In other words, to trust him with the day-to-day details in our lives. For so many, Christianity is just showing up to church on Sunday morning. That's not where it's at. Christianity is every single day living our lives out for Christ, allowing him to fill us with his Spirit, allowing Him to use us, to make us, to mold us. That's where it's at. There's a song, an old gospel song. There's a little bit of perhaps interpretation as to the theology of it. It says, if Jesus is not Lord of everything, then He's not Lord at all. We sing about that, and we say He's Lord, but is He Lord? And let me tell you, my friends, that if this church is going to make any kind of impact, and if this church is going to grow, and if we're going to see people come to Christ, every single one of us who claim the name of Jesus Christ needs to make Jesus Lord of our lives. It's that basic. It's that fundamental. As your pastor, I need your prayers every single day that God would help me to walk in holiness. There are so many things out there where I can get sidelined. I can get disrupted. And every single day I wake up saying, Lord, humble me so that I don't get too puffed up and too proud of myself, where I'm walking in my own strength rather than your strength. My prayer is that I would walk in God's power, not my own. Because I have very little to offer when it comes right down to it. It's yet not I, as Paul says, but it's Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. That's where it's at. That's my prayer. So many people believe, but they don't trust. That's a question I asked you today. Do you believe? Yeah, believing may be easy, but do you trust? The second thing is this. It says, if you hold on to my teaching, you are really my disciples. We need to choose the path of consistency, of being consistent. If you hold to my teachings, Jesus said. Now that word hold is a key word here. Other translations say, if you remain faithful to my teaching. Or the King James Version says, if you continue in my teaching. It refers to not to sporadic every now and then obedience, just up and down, which many of us are good at. It refers to something that's consistent. Now, no one ever said that living the Christian life is easy. It's hard. It really is. It is becoming more and more difficult to live the Christian life in an age and a world where everything in this world is against your faith. When everything is coming against the tide, and it seems as though you're in a losing proposition. You see, living the Christian life is not saying a little prayer. It's not coming forward in a church service. It's not being baptized. It's not joining the church. It's every single day consistency. I know some wonderful people in this church who are consistent. Every single day you can tell whether that they're still right on cue. And yet I know some others, maybe not necessarily in this church, but other places, and yeah, maybe in this church, let's be honest, who are up and down like yo-yos, up and down. God wants us to be consistent. It's tough to be consistent. And to be consistent, we need one another. We need prayer. We need God's word. We need fellowship. We need to be energized by the Spirit of God day by day by day to be consistent. Continue in my word, Jesus said. He didn't say go out and save the world all at once. He didn't say go out and perform miracles. He just said, continue in my word, to be faithful, to be consistent. I believe God rewards faithfulness more than anything else, to be faithful. Yeah, I may not be a perfect person, I may not be a perfect pastor, and I may not be a perfect husband or a perfect father, but I want to be faithful. And to be faithful, we need one another. To be faithful, we need one another's support. To be faithful, we need the uplifting and the upbuilding and the prayers of one another and the encouragement of one another to do what God has called us to do. Wow, I wish I had more time for that one. But here's the final thing. We're to choose to go deep. We're to choose to go deep. Jesus said, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you, what? Free. You will know the truth. The prerequisite to this is that first you go all in. That's the first thing we mentioned. That Jesus has to be Lord of our lives. You believe him all the way. Secondly, that you hold to his teaching by walking the path of consistency. And my third prayer for this church and for all of us is that we go deep into the knowledge of the truth. That we stop feeding on just the baby milk and the baby pablum, but that we all of a sudden get serious about our faith, about growing as disciples of Jesus. You see, there comes a point where we need to get beyond the baby stage. Where a child, my grandchild, you know, I think she's growing already. I've seen some pictures in the last week, and it's amazing, even in 1 week, how a child can grow and change. Sometimes as Christians, you don't see much change. Sometimes we don't grow because we have no desire to grow. And I believe if we desire to grow, I believe that great things can happen. I believe that beyond a shadow of a doubt. You see, this is where it's at. You will know the truth. The truth is God's word. The truth is found in the person, the work of Jesus Christ. That's the truth. We have it. The world doesn't. Doesn't mean we know everything. Doesn't mean we know all the answers. But we've got the foundation. The foundation is the word of God. The foundation is Jesus. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. That's where it's at. When Jesus said that you will know the truth and the truth will set you free, what did he mean? What does he mean by the phrase, know the truth? Which truth is he talking about? He's talking about the truth of his word. And there's a distinction. He's not just talking about propositional truth, the statements of fact that anyone can read and learn, whether they believe it or not. He's talking about a deeper kind of truth. He's talking about the truth of his word as it applies to your life day by day by day. He's talking about the truth of his word as it is played out in our experience living in this sinful, crazy world. You see, you can read and repeat the verses that say that God loves you. You can say all that, but when you're all in and holding fast to the teachings of Christ, you're going to know what that verse means in a deep personal way, not just in your head, but in your heart. You can recite the Lord's Prayer, and you could have it memorized, but unless you know what that is and how it applies to your life, it really has no meaning. You can repeat the 23rd Psalm, where it talks about walking through the valley of the shadow of death, but when you're completely surrendered to him, you're going to know that when you are in that kind of a situation, he is with you in the valley of the shadow of death. You see, here's the key. That when Jesus says that you will know the truth, he's talking about experiential knowledge. He's not knowledge that you merely get out of a book. It's by experiencing it. But here's the paradox. It begins with the book. It begins with a commitment to the Word of God, to the foundations, to the principles of the Word of God, and nothing else. And when we dig deep in the Word, we allow the Word to dig deep into us. That's what happens. When you know that you're forgiven, you're free from the past. Free indeed. Thank God Almighty, I'm free at last. When we know that freedom. When you know that He's with you in the valley, you're free from fear. You're free indeed. When you know that you've been accepted by Him, you're free from the need of approval from others. You are indeed free. When you know you're at the center of His will, you're free from wondering what might have been truly free. You are free indeed. Free indeed. And when His Word gets deep into you, it travels from your head to your heart. And others can see it. Others will know it. Others will believe it because it's authentic. It's not fake because it's practical. It's everyday living. That's what it's about. So there are some of you here today who don't feel free because the past may still haunt you. You're wrapped up in doubts. You're wrapped up in fear. And it has knocked you down. And sin may still trip you up, and fear still holds you back. And freedom seems like hopelessly beyond your reach. It just seems like you're not there yet. I want you to know that Jesus Christ came to set you free. He came to set this community free. In His very first public sermon, this is what He said, that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed me to proclaim freedom to the prisoners. Freedom. And that's what He came to do, to set us free. Many of us here made the mistake in the past of thinking that freedom means being free to choose whatever you want. And we found that this type of so-called freedom leads only to guilt, and it only leads to despair, and it only leads to just more anxiety, more problems. But Jesus came to bring us the kind of freedom that truly sets us free, the kind of freedom that comes from choosing well, making good choices. When you choose to believe in Him and surrender your all to Him, then you experience freedom. And when you choose to follow His teaching and walk the path of consistent obedience by being consistent, then you experience freedom. And when you choose to dig deep in His Word and let His Word dig deep in you, then you will experience freedom. Then you will know it. You will behold it. And whom the Son sets free shall be free indeed. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for your word and for the truth of the gospel. And I thank you that that freedom can be experienced in our lives and we can share it with others. Lord, we desire to be used of you to proclaim freedom to this community, to proclaim the day of the Lord. Proclaim that Jesus is Lord to the glory of the Father. And I pray, Heavenly Father, that in the days ahead, we will know the truth, and the truth will set us free. For it's in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, I invite you to join us as we close.